Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers 13. It's kind of interesting as you listen to how the service progressed and what I felt I wanted to teach on this morning for a few minutes about fear. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving." Now, don't forget about those three words. Go spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So let's put this in perspective. God comes to Moses and said, "Hey, now that you're out of Egypt, I want you to recognize what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a land. Go spy it out. And I just want you to take a look at what I'm giving you." He tells them to be very courageous. And Moses sends him out. I'm going to come back to this, but what gift is God giving you that you're trying to earn? What has God promised you? What has God reached into your heart and say, "I'm going to give you this," and now you're working for it? God tells him, "I'm going to give you the whole land." Now, it's a little different in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, God comes to Joshua and says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." How would you like to have been Joshua? How would you have liked to have taken over those 3 or 6 million people? I mean, after all, they were just such a support to the leadership. And so God comes to Joshua and says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you go and cross over and go into the land and be very courageous, and I'm going to give you good success." There's a major different story between the two incidents. God is giving. Turn with me to Jeremiah 33. If you've never read this, you better underscore it in your Bible. Jeremiah 33. Boy, 32 is long. 33, let's go 3 through 6. "Call to me, and I will answer you." Okay, look at me now. I want to tell you something. You have never in your life prayed a prayer to the Father through Jesus Christ and it bounced off the ceiling. I love the way you're shouting. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, I prayed and God didn't respond." He responded. We don't like it when he doesn't respond the way we want him to. How many of you, when you pray, have an answer you're already looking for? Okay, I'm not picking on you. Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. For thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judea, which you have pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. In other words, the enemy was coming. And they came to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for those whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Now listen to this. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Skip down to me, with me, to verse number 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of all those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And all those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at first, says the Lord. Is there anybody breathing? Should stir something within you. I will, says the Lord. I'm going to bring in the voice of praise. I'm going to bring in the voice of a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to bring the captives back. Okay, let's look at that for a moment. How many of you could jump up and down and get a little excited if your whole family got saved? Did the captive thing go over your head? I will bring the captives back. Who are the captives we're praying for? We're praying for captives that have been taken captive by Satan, who are bound by Satan, who are doing the work of the devil, whose lives are on the edge of falling apart, who drugs and sex and all kinds of other stuff is destroying them. And God says, I'm going to bring them back. That's what God wants to give us. Let me ask you a question, moms and dads, grandma and grandpa. If the prodigal comes home, how is it going to be different? I'll let you chew on that. The prodigal came home to a dad that was absolutely radically excited about seeing him. I know probably years ago what I would have done. I would have said, why, you goofball, I told you that. Isn't that just what they want to hear? I believe with all my heart that the prodigals are coming back. I believe that the captives are being loosed. I believe in the name of Jesus, things are coming together. But we have to be prepared to honor them and accept them and reward them with our love in the church and in the home. We can take a lesson from the father of the prodigal. And if you're angry about something, if something has stirred you up, if something's going on, allow God to change you, not them. But you know who they're going to come home and look at? And look to? Us. And so there has to be a change in my heart toward the prodigal. There has to be a change in my attitude. Now listen, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and old men like me. We can't save them. But we sure can drive them back into the enemy's camp. I'm going to bring the captives back. Go back with me to Numbers. So 10 spies, 12 spies went into the promised land. They all come back. You ever been a witness in a trial? Do you ever give testimony in a court? I have. And you know what's amazing? How differently people see things than I do. You could probably understand that. I got a call to be on jury duty. And she said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, does that affect how you're going to judge? I said, yeah, I'm very lenient. And she said, well, we may call you back. Conversation was over. And so these 12 spies come back. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, don't miss this. This is the important part of the message. All 12 had faith. Great faith. Amazing faith. Two of them had faith that God would lead them through it. 10 of them had faith that the giants would kill them. They were totally convinced. Now, I wrote down what they said. I'm not going to read everything, but I just wrote down what these spies said. Starting out, number one, the Bible says they gave the children of Israel a bad report. The descendants of Anak, or in other words, the giants were there. Not the New York giants, the giants were there. Okay? The people are very strong, and it's like we're very weak. We're not able to go up, and God just said, go spy it out. He didn't tell you to take it yet. It's a land that devours its inhabitants, but there were people there. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Do you get that? We were like grasshoppers in our own sight and in theirs. Now let me ask you a question. How in the world could they read the mind of these giants? I want to tell you something about fear. Fear will distort your mind and your thoughts. Fear will come and bring you to a place, if you allow it to dwell in you, that you cannot imagine anything going right. Fear will lie to you. Fear will deceive you. Fear will enable you from making decisions. Fear will stop you from even moving. Fear will lock you up in a bedroom. And you'll lay there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fear will cause you to imagine so many different untrue things that it's amazing. Kirk didn't go into what he was imagining. But fear will pull your imagination all the way down. Fear will take you captive. What?
Faith in reverse.
Yeah. Stan says it's faith in reverse, and it really is. But it's also putting your faith in something that's not out there. How many laid up money for a rainy day? You ever lay up money for a rainy day? Are you disappointed when it don't come? So we can kind of imagine all kinds of things. And these people went to an extreme. How many farmers, when you put your crop in, are just totally convinced it's not going to rise? It's not going to grow. If it does grow, the hail's coming. If the hail don't come, the locusts are going to get it. And if the locusts don't get it, the neighbors are going to steal it. Come on. Let's just be real. Or the boss hires a new man on the job and you know that he's coming to take your position even though he's got a different one. It's amazing what we can put into our minds and begin to imagine and begin to think about and begin to look at and come to a place where we forget who's walking with us.
Amen.
How many believe that God's a God that doesn't lie?
Amen.
So, let's look at some things. If God tells you you're saved, you're born again, and you're ready for heaven, why are we trying to do better than that? Why don't we just accept that and walk it out and begin to live? If God says your sins are forgiven, who are you or anybody else to deny the fact that you're free? Right? We laugh at the 12 spies, but or 10 spies, but sometimes we do it to ourselves. You know, you walk into a room with somebody with cancer and you know by the tomorrow morning you're going to have cancer. Why? Well, I was in there. Basically, it's not contagious, okay? But your mind and your thoughts are. Because you begin to imagine, you begin to teach, you begin to think, and you're putting it down on somebody else and you're telling them about it and they're wondering, what kind of God do you serve? Somebody said, that if God treated us the way people imagine he does, he'd be accused of child abuse. How many are God's children? The rest you better be before you leave. How many of us have been taught? And I came firsthand knowledge with it when Judy and I were living in Minneapolis or in South St. Paul. And we went knocking on doors. And I came to a home and knocked on the door and said, hey, we'd just like to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And he said, no, we don't want to hear about him. And I said, wait a minute. Time out. What's wrong? Well, our pastor was just here. Our baby died. And the pastor told me that we weren't coming to church enough. So God killed our baby. And so a friend of mine and I, we sat there for an hour telling the man that's not the God. And I know you folks enough that you'd never do that because I'm going to tell you, God doesn't need any more flowers in heaven. God doesn't need anybody in heaven to pick the weeds. There aren't any. Nobody dies to go to heaven to maintain the place. It's pretty well taken care of. And so when someone dies, let's just be honest. Most of the time, we have no reason why they died at that age. Now, there are things God knows, but God doesn't tell us. We okay with that? Do you have any secrets? Stand up and tell them right now. Every one of them. Come on. Get up. Tell me all your secrets. We don't do that. The Bible says the things that God reveals to us are for us and the things he doesn't reveal are for him. I have to accept that even if I don't like it. I've asked him many times, God, why did my folks get killed? Never get an answer. So I say, okay. And I know what people say, well, when you get to heaven, that's the first thing you're going to tell him. No, I'm going to get on my face before him and say, I'm sure glad to be here. And so these people told God, no, we're not going. They said, we're not going. And then during the night, and you can start reading in chapter 14 someday, during the night, somebody has a revelation because the people were saying, we want to go back to Egypt. How many of you would want to go back to Egypt after Pharaoh's army drowned? Wouldn't that be a nice place to walk into? I think they have several ropes they could have used. And so they said, we want to go back to Egypt. So instead of doing that, they all got together and said, we're going to charge those people. We're going to take it. We're going to go on our own. And they went up there. And they got beat up. Many probably died. How many realize when God tells us to do something, it's better to do it when He tells us than after we made up our mind to do it? So God looks at this group of people and He says, here's the deal. And Moses interceded. He said, Lord, if you kill them all, then the enemies are going to say that they couldn't come in here and you weren't strong enough to take us, so you had to kill them and leave them lay in the wilderness. So God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Everybody over 20 is dead, except Caleb and Joshua. Everybody over 20 is dead, and they died. The 10 spies died right there. Boom, it was over. The rest of the people who said, we're not going in, we're not going to take the land, we're going to do our own thing, they died. And that's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And so God looks at the people and says, my servant Caleb has a different spirit than everybody else. And you go down a little bit further in chapter 14, he'll say, Joshua and Caleb are going to make it in. Because they have a different spirit. Whose spirit's in us? Who's the spirit that's leading us? Who's the spirit that talks to us? Who's the spirit that tells us how to walk? So how many of us pay attention when God's talking? We have a different spirit. There's two kinds of spirits that want to permeate your life and permeate the church and permeate the communities and permeate the nation and the state. There's the spirit of the Antichrist or the spirit of the world and the spirit of Jesus Christ. Who are you going to listen to? God has told us, and that's why I read Jeremiah chapter 33. Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things. You don't understand. You don't know. And you know why we don't know? Because we come to a place where God tells us, go do this or go do that. And we think about it and we'll say, yeah, I'll do it someday. And God is saying, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how great I am. I want to teach you how much I love you. I want to teach you how to walk with me. I want to show you how to live. I don't want you sitting in those pews at COC and hoping that Pastor Kirk and Pastor Faring saves the whole town. And then we all can have a party. You know, it's a little bit like David when he fought Goliath. What were the guys doing before the battle? They were hiding behind the rocks. But as soon as Goliath was dead, what'd they do? They all started to rejoice. They should have been rejoicing before David fought him. We should be rejoicing because we have the answer. He is Jesus Christ. And when we go out of here, when we walk out of here, we demonstrate Jesus Christ to this world. And there's no one that's greater than him. And there's no one who can look at you when you've had the experience, when you've had the anointing, when you've had the touch of God on your life, and say that's not true. They may try. Let me tell you something. You don't have to put your whole life on Facebook. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you can put in there, God healed me, and God saved me, and God delivered me, and God did this, and somebody's going to put on there, he doesn't do that. And then you're hurt. Do you ever get hurt by Facebook? And so we come to a place, and you say, Pastor, what do you do? I just put it on there, and I don't care what the response is. I don't care. God gives me something to put on there, I'm going to put it on there. I'd rather have him respond to me than just ignore it. I don't care, good or bad, respond. Let me know where you are. So we have a different spirit. We're a different people. God has worked in our life to bring about in our lives his kingdom. These people who had it all together that knew that they were going to get killed going into battle did not see their grandchildren. Did not enter the promised land. Did not inherit the promises of Jesus of what they were going to do. They died. Except Joshua and Caleb and those under 20. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. So Joshua's talking to Moses. This is a man with a different spirit too. And he says in verse number 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said. Joshua's talking again. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. 85. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that with the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let me tell you something. The giants that you allow to torment you will still be there 45 years from now. The things that come after you from the devil, he's not going to leave until you put your foot down. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus had cursed the fig tree, came back, and the fig tree was dried up. And he looks at the children, and Peter, of course, they ask him, God, look at the fig tree is dead. And Jesus didn't talk about the fig tree. He just said, have faith in God. Now, that's not what he said. This is what he said, actually. Have the faith of God. And you say, what are you talking about? God gave us faith. Have the faith of God, and you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it will be gone.
That's right, amen.
Why do we worship at the base of the mountains that are trying to kill us? Why do we honor them so much and give much so much authority to them and come to a place where the things that are not from God are trying to take us out, and instead of standing up against them, we think that we have to bow down to them? Forget it. I ain't going to bow, I ain't going to bend, I ain't going to burn. There is no room in your spirit and in your mind for any thought that doesn't come from God. For any thought that's talking about your demise or negative things or teaching you that you're not worthy or telling you that God doesn't care or God doesn't love or name-calling that people have termed you with, like the lady that was here Sunday and was freed just through a word of knowledge. Let's live it. Let's just come to a place of living it out and rejoicing and letting people know, God, I'm going to have a different spirit. I'm going to have a different life. I'm not believing reports that doesn't come from you. Whose report are you going to believe? We'll believe the report of the Lord.
Sure,
you can get all negative things. You can get all things that are crazy. Because of Christ. No matter what somebody has told you, your prognosis is good because of Jesus.
Right,
no matter what somebody says. And sometimes you don't need to tell somebody the problem you're going through. There are times you have to look at the doctor and say, well, doctor, I value your opinion, but I value my God's opinion more.
Amen.
You may say this, but right now I'm trusting God. And they're going to look at you because they've heard that before, and somebody came in who really didn't trust God, and they died. People die. People die. I would almost guarantee everybody in here that's old enough to understand knows somebody who died. Do we? But let's save as many as we can. Don't get an image of yourself based on what you think. Get an image of yourself based on what God says. You're overcomers. You're more than conquerors. You're victors. You're the head and not the tail. Come on. It's true. Do you know something? Right now, the believers are the best that God's got in this town. Do you know that? I'm not telling you to go pin a badge on yourself and I'm God's favorite child. I'm not telling you that. But take what God says about you. Amen.